Flyers Daily with Jason Martinez.
All right, here we go. Brand new Flyers Daily for the 9th of April, 2024. Flyers Daily, as always, presented by Ticketmaster. Make more memories live. Final four. Final four games begins tonight in Montreal as the Flyers, if they're going to have any chance, and it's out of their control at this point, got to get 2 points in Montreal tonight. Got to get 2 points. I still think, I may be in the minority here, I still think there is something to be gained by getting into the postseason, even though this has been a collapse here of late. I still think picking yourself up off the mat and finding a way to get in, controlling what you can control now, would be a good thing. I know a lot of people don't agree with that. They want to improve draft position, whatever it might be. Or they think that more failure breeds more change. I think there's going to be change anyway. I don't think what happens here down the stretch in these last four games is going to change any of that. I think that that's going to take place no matter what. That being said, 2 points is of the order tonight in Montreal. See if they can end this seven-game skid. Montreal tonight, Rangers on Thursday. Saturday, we'll see the Devils at Wells Fargo Center. And then a week from today, we'll see the Capitals for the regular season finale at Wells Fargo Center. So we'll break down this game tonight, coming up tomorrow. But let's get to part two right now of Ask Billy. We took a lot of questions in part one. If you missed it, you can go back and check it out. But here is part two of Ask Billy with Bill Meltzer as we tackle Flyer fan questions. Yeah. Let's get to some emails as well. Jason Muscat emailed me and said, "Hey, Jason, I heard your recent podcast, yesterday's episode," which was quite interesting. He said, "You wouldn't be upset if you took it as it is. He said, "They were never meant to make the playoffs from the start of the season. So to myself and a lot of other Flyer fans, it's not upsetting what's happening at all. In fact, it's been exciting, even knowing it was going to come to this at some point. I even had a feeling a huge losing streak, like 10 games or so, was going to happen since it did for the last three seasons." He says it's logic, it's fate. They're 100% a rebuilding team, so this should not upset anyone. If they do end up making it, again, what I said in my last email, it'll take a miracle of God, and that's a bonus. Don't hold your hopes too high with them right now. It's going to take time. In about 3 years, they'll be legit. Believe me, take it easy, Jason." Now, I read that, Bill, and I go, it's pragmatic to some point if you go back to October, but there is no rule in sports, sports fandom, sports media, anything that says the expectations that you set at the onset of a season have to stay the same throughout the entirety of the season. I think that that's BS. Expectations change. You know, the Eagles, when they went to Super Bowl a couple years ago, they didn't have expectations, and then you saw they were good, and then you said, okay, they can be that. I expect that's okay. So to go back and just say, hey, I'm at peace of mind here, I'm okay with them, you know, losing to Montreal, losing to Chicago 5-1, losing to Buffalo, and losing 6-2 in Columbus, because I didn't expect them to be in the playoffs anyway, so this is the way to them not to getting in the playoffs. See, I think that's a cop-out of the biggest magnitude.
Yeah, I think that it's, I think it's deluding yourself to feel better, honestly, because over the course of any given season, you're reevaluating repeatedly. That's why you break seasons down into quarters, you know, half a season after the All-Star break, stretch drive. That's a reason why you're, you know, always reevaluating, is that where you stand. You can't tell me that even though you would have liked a couple more points during that seven game gauntlet, you know, as it was called, you can't say you exited that feeling, oh geez, we're in trouble. You felt really good. They were really in good shape to have a guaranteed playoff spot, third in the Metro. All they had to do was reasonably take care of their own business against teams that, you know, on paper, they should handle. And there was, you know, what happened in the Columbus game in particular, where not only is it a team that's at the bottom of the standings, but was missing 10 players from their lineup. You can't tell me, oh, I'm okay losing to that club, because you should never be okay losing to that club. Even, you know, even early in the season when the loss in San Jose happened, it didn't sit well because this is a team that was winless at the time, that was allowing more than four goals a game, and the Flyers were playing, you know, playing a pretty good brand of hockey going into that. So to lose that and having lost at the end of a homestand heading into that, you know, it's a disappointment. I think the disappointment is real, and it's okay to say that. And when you're evaluating too, you're evaluating, you know, the next segment of games. You're evaluating the rest of the year. You know, that's the short term stuff, and then you're evaluating the long term. I do agree with him that the long term evaluation is this is a rebuilding club. There's still steps to go. I think that's been, you know, and honestly, listen, people like Danny Briere and Keith Jones have never hidden that fact that no matter where the Flyers finish this year, this is still going to be an ongoing process. That they realize that you know, they're not a contender right now, even when things were at their brightest looking. That's always been they've always been transparent about that and kind of seeing why now. But that doesn't change the disappointment and how underachieving they've been down the stretch. That doesn't to me make that feel any better. I'm being honest. I don't feel better about it.
Yeah, to me, that's just a self-protection mechanism.
Yeah.
You know, you're making an excuse that wasn't the expectation. But if your expectations didn't change in this season, then I don't know. I mean, I tried to hold off talking even about the playoffs for as long as I could before you couldn't avoid the topic anymore. Let's get to this email from Bob Armbruster. And this is an interesting conversation. He sent this to me and said, "Hey, Jason, good show. Listen all the time. Just writing in to say how frustrating it is to watch this season. All year, I felt like we had something special going with this team. And as all hockey fans know, once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. Look at Florida last year and St. Louis in 2019. He said, I'm tired of hearing Danny Briere talk about being competitive for the next 6, 7, 8 years. I feel like the way the league is now, who cares about being competitive every year? It only matters if you win the cup, and no team did or ever will win the cup 8 years in a row or even five. He said, I feel in today's NHL with free agents and trades, draft picks are way overrated. A lot of times once they finally develop, they go somewhere else or get traded. We should have got goaltending help this year since they knew all along that was going to happen with Hart, and we should have kept Walker. To get a defenseman as good as him in the draft will take 5 years of development. So I guess Flyer fans will just have to keep waiting just to have a competitive team to watch for 8 years in a row. He said, I would trade a few good runs for that any day. Thanks and keep up the good work. Now, I totally disagree with Bob.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody is saying that you're going to win 6, 5, 4 cups in a row. You win one before you even talk about two. But today's NHL in a league driven by parity is putting yourself with a core of drafted and developed players in a salary cap league that you can supplement through those years to push all in. But you've got to build the foundation first.
Correct. There's no other way around it. You have to have that foundation group and add pieces around it. You know, when you're competitive 5, 6, 7, 8 years, whatever that time span is, you're opening a window, right? Yep. And when the window is open, you know, you still have to put other pieces in place to take those next steps. And even then, there's no guarantees. All it takes is a bad week, or getting goalied, you know, you lose a couple games in overtime in a series that really could have gone either which way. It's why winning the Stanley Cup is so difficult. You want to try to open a window for as long as you can. We have enough youth. We have enough veterans who are still able to contribute. And development is critical, too, because you want to have pieces always coming along. Yeah, exactly. You want to have as many of these guys as you can on their, you know, entry-level contract or their second contract.
Yeah.
Once you get into the third contract, that's where you're starting to pay significantly more money. For most guys are going to contribute unless there's some kind of injury issue that you happen to get a guy on a discount for a year or two. But that's not the kind of strategy you can bank on. I think that you know, the window is not open yet. They're working on it. I do think that you know, you still need some critical pieces here, right? You still need that number one center we mentioned. You still have to have a true number one defenseman. Maybe, you know, maybe Cam York could be that guy. I kind of think of Cam as a guy who could be a part of a tremendous top pairing.
Yeah.
Right? A 1A, 1B kind of thing. That can work too. There's different ways of getting there. But, the, you know, but they're not there yet where they have those absolute central, these are our, you know, star pieces. These are the guys who are every year. And I mean, the closest the Flyers have right now is Travis Konecny to that. You know, TK is, he'll get you 75, 80, whatever points. So, you know, prorated over a whole year. But, you know, even then, TK's not that 100-point guy. The Flyers don't have that guy yet. Maybe Michkov will be that guy. But you're trying to put enough around as supporting pieces. And incidentally, when you can develop and you can have some quality pieces, that's when you can make some hockey trades where you're trading from strength, where you're able to trade a guy that the teams want and you hate to give up, but you can you have enough around them to, you know, you can withstand their loss and you can fill another need.
Yeah.
Flyers just still have too many needs on the checklist to say that they're there yet. So it's still very much a work in progress. I think it's important that the Flyers have not been delusional about that. I think that what happened earlier in this decade, you know, the Flyers had that 1 year where they kind of, you know, and I thought it was going to last a lot longer than it did. But the 2019-20 season where under AV and all the underlying stuff was so good. Flyers were top seven in goals, top seven in goals against average, the number one in fewest shots allowed per game, all these things that pretend to being there for a while. It only lasted the 1 year.
Yeah.
So I think that with the Flyers, one of the mistakes the Flyers made, and sometimes for bad luck, sometimes bad decisions, was trying to recapture what they had that 1 year and not
doubling
being
down.
Able to do that. Yeah. They doubled down on the same strategy, trying to recapture that 1 year, unable to do it. I'm glad the strategy isn't trying to capture lightning in a bottle for 1 year. And even if this current stretch hadn't worked out this way, not saying this is how it's going to be every year, because you still need more. You still need more.
There's good. I think there will be very big decisions made this offseason, and it'll be another incremental step. You're not going to go from where they are right now and all of a sudden have what it takes to win a cup. When I look at teams like Vegas, and you have Petrangelo on that back end, and you have all that depth. You look at the Tampa teams. They didn't win until they went out and got Barkley Goodrow and Blake Coleman to add to. Victor Hedman, Stamkos, Kucherov, Point, Vasilevskiy. You know, you have to be able to build an entire team. Top-heavy teams have not had success. You look at a team that drafted at the top of the draft and got high-end pieces in Toronto. They haven't won squad douche yet, right? And you got to be able to build a team. And in a rising cap world, it'll be interesting, Bill, to go, okay, can you pay players north of $12 million and win? Can you build a team doing that? It's been a question the last couple of years because of the flat cap world, but we'll see how that goes now with a rising cap world. Jason Leams tweets in and says, despite the disappointing slide, do you think the season on the whole was an overall positive? Most experts had the Flyers competing for a top five pick. I can't go into this mode yet. I'm not there to go, was this, you know, I can't, it's not done yet. And even though I feel like we know the final chapter and it's already been written, and this weekend in Buffalo and Columbus was kind of an exclamation point, I can't go into that mode yet, so I'm not ready to go there. And it speaks to the changing of expectations. But let's get to one last one here. Joseph tweeted in and said, I have a question. Is the hockey we are watching now exciting in any way? At least in the past when the Flyers had a lack of talent, we got to see a few hard checks and fights. The hockey this season, Bill, was very exciting for 96% of it. It was high-flying. It was a huge departure systematically and strategically from what they had done a year prior with this getting out in transition and getting up the ice and you know, this notion that they just fall back and block shots and aren't an offensive team and no high-end players are going to want to come here because they play just a defensive system. That's baloney, because philosophically, and I thought it was one of the more important moments that mattered this season when John Tortorella said, we have to start playing this way now so that when the mad rushing gets here, Matvei Michkov, we already know how to play this way. So yeah. It was an exciting – losing 6-2 Columbus sucks. It's not exciting. But the way they played prior to this stretch was very exciting.
I agree. And it was the combination of learning to play a lot faster, getting, you know – I mean, the Flyers for a long period of the season were leading the NHL in transition goals, right? Goals off the rush. People wouldn't have thought that, but they were. And, you know, and that was balanced off by you had the elements of the grit and physicality, the, you know, like Garden Hathaway would bring. I mean, it was a nice blend that they had where they could beat you some different ways. Goals were, you know, I mean, the Flyers, we know where the power play was all year, but the Flyers were, for a significant part of the season, pretty decent 5-on-5 team, and they were actually turning the penalty kill to an offensive advantage a lot of times. 15 yeah. shorthanded goals. I mean, you're not going to get that most years, and there was always a sense of anticipation when a puck would be turned over. You know, pretty good chance you're going to get on the other end and score.
Yeah,
Whether a breakaway or a 2-on-1 or
they
whatever.
Set a record, Bill. They set a record in the NHL for penalty shot goals. That's because you play fast in transition, you get beyond their defense to even get those.
Yeah, to even get those opportunities. So I thought, for example, when the Flyers were playing pretty well, even into March, even during some of those gauntlet games, right? When you had Tippett and Frost. And they were playing fast, and they were scoring. And these are guys that are, you know, you want to see that sustained over a consistent basis. But to me, that was pretty exciting, pretty fun hockey. So I think that, you know, on the whole, it's been a pretty entertaining brand of hockey. They've lost their way recently. I mean, some of these recent games have been anything but exciting or anything but fun. But I do think that in terms of an identity that they need to play, that they want to have, they found some clues towards, you know, being able to do that in the long haul. And adding pieces that can play that way will only help that in the long haul.
Yeah, this recent stretch feels like you're watching the game with an anvil over your head, like in the old cartoons, and the rope is like withering away and it's about to fall on your head. That's what it's felt like of late. But for most of the season, they did play a very fun brand and an honest brand of hockey as well. Lots of great questions came in, and we hope you guys enjoyed the episode. I love giving the fans via email, via DMs or Twitter, whatever it is, a chance to weigh in on their thoughts, ask their questions, and I love taking them on. So thanks to everybody who submitted them. Thanks to Bill Meltzer, and thanks to you for listening, watching. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll break down Flyers Habs on a brand new edition of Flyers Daily.